welcome to Best Laid Plans. This is your host, Sarah Hart Unger, and this is the podcast where we talk all things planning and planning adjacent. The first thing I want to discuss today is a little bit of planner news. I feel like I have not been covering planner news or planner gossip all that much in recent months, and it may be that I am just not as much on the pulse of some of these things because I have not been on social media. So if there is stuff that I should be talking about and you are aware of it, please act as my informant and let me know so I can share with everyone else. Because I just heard from a wonderful listener that the Get to Work book is going to be discontinued. We actually had the Get to Work book founder, Elise Kripe, on the show probably about a year ago. I'll have to link to her episode. And she has decided that she will do this academic year and then calendar year 2024, but after that, not continue to offer Get to Work book. I'll be curious if she ends up pivoting to some other kind of planning product or if she's going to move on entirely to other things. I know she's an amazingly creative person and artist, and it might just be that she's ready to move on and share her skills with the world in other ways. So you will be missed, Get to Work book. I know it has so many devotees. It has a unique style and some great minimalist design with a lot of features. And I've already heard from at least one listener who is debating what to use instead. She is considering possibly a golden coil. And I've also encouraged her to look at some of the options from Erin Condren as well, since I think some of those layouts can be similar to what Get to Workbook was offering. But anyway, that is my planner news for the week. If you are a Get to Workbook user and you are devastated by this news, please share with us what you are planning to use next. Now, today is going to be an Ask Me Anything episode. You guys did a great job getting me some questions. I got a bunch through email and blog comments and even a couple through the text option from Google Voice. So keep those coming. The number to text me is in the show notes. So whatever podcast player you use, take a look at the little brief show notes that show up and you will see the number that you can use to send me a text with a question, or you can also send a voicemail via this number. It does not go to my personal cell phone. It goes to a Google Voice account so I can hear your question at any time and you can text me things at 2 a.m. and it won't bother me, I promise. So please keep those coming. All right. So these questions are a little different from the typical Q&A episodes I was doing before, because with Ask Me Anything, it's a little bit more about my practices and my life. And I'm sorry if that's boring, because maybe that's not what you come here for and you want more, you know, specific targeted advice. But I got enough questions that I think there's at least some things people are curious about. So I'm super excited to go ahead and answer them. All right. Number one. Do you think you will ever go back to social media? Is there anything you feel you miss about it? I guess, you know, after writing the intro to this episode, I would say that sometimes there are things in the planner community that maybe I would talk about on this podcast had I heard about them on social media. But I also like to think that if anything was really important enough to be discussed, it will eventually get to me in some other way, via an email, via a blog comment, or via my own exploration of different brands' websites. So I think that probably no, I don't think there's much that I miss about it. I feel like I can still interact with audiences that enjoy the content from this podcast because so many of you are commenters on my blog posts or send me emails or other things. So I don't feel disconnected in that way. I don't feel like I miss out on school information. That was a question we got from the other podcast I'm part of, Best of Both Worlds. But luckily in my area, most activities and things use WhatsApp groups instead of using something like a Facebook page. If I ever felt like I needed to get information about an activity via social media, I would just create an account and just follow that one thing. But I haven't even had to do that yet. I just feel that participating in social media takes away so much more than it gives for me personally. And therefore, I kind of put it in a no thanks ever category along with things like soda and hard drugs. I just don't see the benefit. And so I am pretty much determined to say no for life. So yeah, that's kind of where I am. I guess it certainly could change, but I don't necessarily see it coming. And I certainly don't feel like sometimes I debate going back. I actually really, really don't. All right, question number two. What is your current morning routine like? Do you ever sleep in? Yes, yes, I do. Even though I have a reputation as an early riser and I do often get up quite early, my routine is not exactly the same every day. I will say it's usually pretty intentional. I do not tend to go to bed with the thought that I'm going to wake up early and then turn off my alarm, hit snooze, and refuse to get up. I mean, every once in a while, if I really don't feel well, that could happen. But usually, if I'm sleeping in, it's because the night before I decided that I needed it, or that was just part of my plan anyway. So I wouldn't say I have a specific morning routine that applies to every single day. On kind of my default weekday, I do get up quite early. Between 4:30 and 4:40, I usually start with reading while I'm drinking my coffee. I'm now adding collagen to my coffee to prevent injuries. So I guess that's a new tiny little step in my morning routine. I read for like 20 minutes or so, often do a 10-minute headspace meditation, and then I usually go for a run. Sometimes I'm able to fit in a blog post depending on the length of my run that day. Other times I decide that I will post later in the day, or I've set up a post the night before. So sometimes even when something is published at 5 a.m., it may not have been written quite that early. So that is what I do on, I would say, almost every Monday. And on Monday, I usually run with a group, so I'm kind of on a tight schedule those days. Most Fridays, I follow that schedule, and then some Tuesdays or Thursdays. Tuesday and Thursday are my work from home days. Those are not clinical days unless I happen to be on call, which is, you know, about 6 weeks of the year. But as long as I'm working from home, I have the option of running later. And if I'm more tired that day, or if I have a more flexible morning, I often will not set my alarm for that early so I can get some more sleep. And then Wednesdays are currently my total rest day. I've changed my workout practices a little bit. I used to do strength training when I didn't have a run on a given weekday, but now I take a day entirely off. So on Wednesdays, I typically do plan in to get a little bit more sleep. And I might set my alarm for 5:30 and then do all the rituals I normally do, but with no run. So I have plenty of time to get those done with a later wake up time. On the weekends, I have been really enjoying doing long runs on Saturday and not on Sunday. So I get up early to run on Saturday. We are a family that doesn't tend to do much on Friday evenings. My husband is often working late that night. So it's a perfect kind of low-key night. And then I can get up early that morning. And then Sundays, I'm much more likely to sleep in and do stuff later in the day because we're more likely to be out on Saturday nights doing something fun. So yeah, that is my current morning routine. And I'll say the things that I really try to do every single day, in addition to drink coffee, because that is just a given, is to read and usually get in my meditation as well. All right, I'm going to take a quick break and be back with the next Ask Me Anything question. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Jenni Kayne. I love Jenni Kayne, and I hope you love shopping there to support the show. When you do, visit JenniKayne.com and use code PLANS for 15% off your first order. We are now well into spring, and there's no better time to shop for beautiful cotton sweaters that can take us right into the next season. And definitely take a look at their dresses. They have so many pretty ones. I'm obsessed with the day dress. It's so classic and versatile. Plus, everything in their collection is designed so intentionally that you can style pieces together without a second thought. All of their sweaters and tops pair with jeans, work pants, and more, and can be styled to fit practically any occasion. Find your new spring uniform at JenniKayne.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code PLANS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at JenniKayne.com. Promo code PLANS. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Today's episode is sponsored in part by Factor. Factor is sponsoring this episode with an awesome discount code, PLANS50, to give you 50% off your first month and 20% off the next. Know that trying out our sponsors helps keep the show going, and I think this is a great one to give a try, especially if you have a hectic season coming up, and I know many of us do. Factor sends fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, ready-to-eat meals directly to your door. I absolutely love them for nutritious lunch options or a super easy dinner on a night when everyone needs to eat in shifts. There's nothing to prepare, and the meals are really good. Think premium ingredients like shrimp, truffle butter, and broccolini. You can use Factor when and how you need it. You get to customize your weekly meals, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries to meet your needs. And I love that they are celebrating Earth Day this month with a special Earth Month badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Head to factormeals.com/plans50 and use code PLANS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code PLANS50 at factormeals.com/PLANS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, I'm back. I thought this was such a fun question. Question number 3. If you could take a 1-year paid sabbatical from your 60% time clinical job, how would you spend it? I spent a little while thinking about this. I thought it was a fascinating question that really got me to kind of think about my dreams and what I really want. I mean, a tiny part of me was like, I would spend it lying around and reading a bunch of books. But being honest with myself, I think that's not super likely. I think I would spend it focusing on best laid plans, trying to grow my audience, trying to expand what I offer in terms of teachings, growing my speaking career, and I would likely spend time trying to put together a fantastic book proposal that no one would want to refuse. So that is probably what I would do with my 1-year paid sabbatical for my clinical job. I would spend it working on my creative job. And who knows, maybe podcast number 3 would be born. I don't even know what the topic of said podcast would be. But yeah, let's be honest, that is what I would do. And I probably would finally get YouTube working. I'd figure out my camera setup and I would create some regular videos. I feel like there's always little kind of small format content that comes into my head. And because I don't use social media, it never makes its way into anything. But at the same time, I think the idea of like a series of something really short, like a daily affirmation, I don't know, all these ideas floating around in my head that I don't necessarily have the time or bandwidth to get off the ground. If I had that year off, I probably would spend my time doing that. Fun fact, there was one moment when my husband and I thought that maybe we would try to relocate our family to another country, specifically New Zealand, because the market for physicians is they need doctors there. And so they're willing to accept doctors from other countries or like other medical license, such as a US medical license. And we thought perhaps that he would get a surgical job there. And I thought that perhaps I would spend my time not doing anything clinical for a little bit and exploring these other options. But then it just didn't happen. I think instead we decided to have a third baby. So Genevieve, you were worth it. It all worked out. So, but great question. Thank you for sending that one. All right, number 4. This person writes, I don't think you've done a deep dive on migraines yet. What have you tried and what has helped? Beyond prescriptions, what is working for you and what seem to be triggers? I know you like to steer away from medical topics, but are there lifestyle things that you've adopted that are helping? It's hugely personal, so no pressure. So yes, I do like to steer away from medical topics that are like me giving someone medical advice. Like, please do not send a question in that is like, here are my kids' labs. What should I do? Because not that I don't want to help you, but then we cross the boundary into me becoming your online doctor and I've never seen you and there's all kinds of liability stuff. And yeah, I just can't do it. But you're asking about me specifically, so I feel comfortable sharing. I know my trigger, my biggest trigger is running, which is really, really sad because it is not something I am willing to give up. But almost every time I have a bad migraine, it is because, or I don't know, because it is on a day where I have done a more intense effort, not necessarily a longer run. I did a really long run last weekend, but the paces were nice and relaxed and my heart rate was never super high and I did not get a migraine. Whereas I did a shorter run this week with my running group and because they tend to run on the faster side for me, I absolutely got a migraine. I also find that long clinical days and kind of my brain having to move really fast and write a lot of clinical notes tends to contribute. Probably the poor hydration that often comes with clinical days can contribute, but on this particular last day, I was so good about drinking water and I still got a migraine and not enough sleep. If there's a night when I didn't sleep enough and I had a hard run and I had a busy clinical day, I'm like almost guaranteed. So I have identified my triggers. The problem is not having perfect nights of sleep and running and going to work are not really things I can just like decide not to do. I guess I could decide not to run, but I don't want to do that. I also, TMI alert, think there may be some factors about like hormonal stuff, hormonal birth control, all that kind of stuff. I guess I'll say that I have experimented with different things, but since I don't currently want any more children, there's a limit to what I can try. And I do have a prescription medicine that works really, really well for me. It is not a triptan. It's like in a more modern class of medications. I'm not going to give the specific brand name because I think there's a lot of them that are similar. I do not take it every day. I only take it when I get a migraine, and it does work pretty well with minimal side effects. So I guess I'm grateful that at least I have a good solution, and I do have a great neurologist, although I feel like I am, how do I put this, like so mild compared to some of the patients that she treats that I don't want to, I feel like my current level of solutions is pretty much good enough. So I don't know how much I'm going to delve in further other than to make sure I still have access to the medication that helps and to continue tracking things to make sure they are not increasing in frequency and maybe play around with the hormonal component of things in the future. So yeah, there's my migraine deep dive. This is not turning into a migraine podcast. I will not plan on talking too much about this topic in the future, but since you asked, there is your answer. Question number 5, what is the best trip you've ever taken destination-wise? I'd love to hear your answer, both with kids and adults only. I love to travel and think our kids are about the same age, 11, 8, and 5, so I am curious. Yes, we do have a similar age spread. Annabelle's almost 11. Actually, by the time this airs, maybe she'll be 11. We'll see. My middle child, Cameron, is 9 and Genevieve is 5. So yes, very similar age spread. And I do feel like we have hit a great time for family travel after it being fairly stressful. I kind of joke that COVID came at a convenient time because like no one likes traveling with 2-year-olds. Well, I don't like traveling with 2-year-olds and I had a great excuse not to do it. And now I feel like we're in a great place. So I will say my favorite family destinations and trips ever is probably a toss-up between the trip we took last December to Montana to go skiing, which was our first family ski trip and just went so well. Like all the pieces came together, even though we had a negative 30 degree day. Other than that, it was just an awesome trip and exceeded my expectations. We went to Big Sky, Montana and did 3 days of skiing and it was awesome. Or 4 days of skiing. One of those. Anyway, I want to do it again and I'm hoping that we will. And then we had a fantastic trip in 2019 where we went to the Pacific Northwest and hit Whistler, Seattle, and Portland. That was fantastic because it was a great mix of nature and cities. And also we saw so many family and friends. So I love doing trips where we visit various friends along the way. And then finally, I do love having a family destination that you go to again and again. And for us, that is Amelia Island. That is our family beach vacation of choice. Yes, we live near the beach, but Amelia Island is something special. It feels more remote. It's actually a 6-hour drive north, and it's still in the state of Florida, although barely. But that is my kind of favorite, like do it again and again family vacation. And we've rented different VRBOs every time we've gone. So I don't have like a specific place that we always stay or anything like that, but I know that we will be back. Now, adults only trips, you guys know I love taking adults only trips and they can be really short. I find that frequency matters more than like the length of the trip in terms of like whether it was memorable and whether it, you know, like it's more easy to just go away for 48 hours and yet it can have like a ton of impact in terms of deepening your relationships, feeling like you really had a break, and just making some really fun memories. So I'm all about quantity over length. Sorry, not quantity. I don't know, like frequency over length when it comes to adults only trips. I'd rather take 3 2-day trips than 1 6-day trip in a year. I guess that's what I'm saying. And so shorter, easier trips that have worked really, really well for this have been like Nashville, Austin. My husband and I did a trip to Phoenix before we had kids. It was super easy to get to and really relaxing and fun. Although my ultimate adults only trip is probably to wine country in California, like the Sonoma, Healdsburg area. We've done that a couple of times, even taking the same bike tour through wine country through a little company called Wine Country Bikes. Like we did it twice, like 10 years apart, and I loved it both times. So hoping to be back there someday as well. You will notice the lack of international destinations. That is not because I'm not open to going elsewhere. It's just because, I guess, budget and time-wise, we just haven't really done it yet. However, that is something I'm really, really looking forward to as the kids get a little bit older is, you know, trying some even more adventurous destinations, such as those overseas. I'd love to go to Asia. I'd love to go to like Iceland as well and Scandinavia where I've never been. So hopefully this will be an even more exciting answer to this question if you ask it again in a few years. Number 6. How do you manage clothing in your house? Kids, yours, seasonal changes, or wardrobe updates? I would say, first of all, our seasonal changes just weather-wise are not terribly exciting around here. So I do think we probably have less to do in this realm than some others who live in a more varying climate. Because even our coldest days here will have like a high in the 60s. We don't really have to wear winter gear. And the winter gear we have is more for travel. But I do try to use the start and the end of school as times that I really make sure I go through the kids' wardrobes, donate things that don't fit anymore, save things for my oldest to like save for my youngest, which we've actually been really good about doing. I especially would splurge on some higher quality clothing when I kind of only had one kid to dress. And I feel like I'm getting to the end of that era where I had all this lovely Bowdoin and Tea collection stuff that made it through years with Annabelle and now is getting a second life with Genevieve, which is really, really cool. So I would say those times of year, I just kind of do a go through and it takes an afternoon, but then you're kind of done. And then a lot of times at that time, I'll make like a list of what they need for the next season and then do a lot of online ordering. Although I think that my oldest is starting to want to actually go to stores so she can look at things a little bit more closely. So I get that. My own clothing, I would identify as a minimalist. We had a wonderful stylist on, Lonnie Inlander, a friend of the podcast, I would say. She's been on before, and I've gotten to know her over the years, and she was shocked to see my closet when she first saw it because it's just very empty. on a non-work day, you can almost always find me in jeans and a t-shirt, usually a higher quality version of both of those. Although in jeans, I've kind of gone mid-range lately as I really enjoy the Madewell Perfect Vintage jean, which is not at a super high price point. And I find they last really well and have a nice updated shape to them. And then my t-shirts are usually higher quality ones from like Marine Layer is my favorite place, but it's just jeans and t-shirts. So yeah, not super fancy at all. I have a couple of nicer button-down tops and I would say a couple of dresses and jumpsuits that I, and a couple of tops that I can wear out. And that's like it. And when I say a couple, I really mean like one or two. I like keeping things pretty minimal. If I had to tell you what my wish list was, it would be one or two more dresses or jumpsuits for the summer, an updated pair of white jeans in particular, maybe a couple tops that can either be worn to work or a night out. Although at work, I've been wearing scrubs more and more often. And it's so funny. I get more compliments on my scrubs than I ever got on my normal clothing. So I feel like my patients are trying to tell me something. They like me in scrubs and I like me in scrubs too, because it's like the world's easiest thing ever. I'm sure there's also other wonderful brands, but Figs pretty much outfits probably half the women in the hospital where I work because they're just flattering. They come in really pretty colors and they have short lengths. I'm 5'1" and I can wear their pants, which is amazing. So I really appreciate that. Yeah. So I don't know if that was a great answer, but that's our current clothing management. And then two more. Number 7, do you have a system for keeping track of cooking recipes? There are a lot of different recipe sources, cookbooks, websites, emails, Instagram posts, etc. It's easy to lose track of things. Do you have a system for saving recipes you find interesting and want to try? And how about printed ones? Do you take a picture of it? Do you migrate it somewhere for keeping? I would say I'm pretty minimalist with this as well. Our family kind of rotates between prep dish menus, and I always use the super fast menu. And yeah, they are a podcast sponsor, but I really heavily use them for real in real life. So we do those about half the time. And then the other weeks, I would say we rotate through familiar favorites. And often I'm doing meal planning and I shout out to the kids, what do you guys want to eat this week? And they'll give me some ideas and I put that on the menu. We also have a heavy reliance on leftovers. So if I'm using prep dish for 2 out of the 4 weeks and the other 2 weeks, the kids are coming up with 2 ideas, I don't need to come up with that many more ideas to kind of fill up every day. And I really kind of have different things in mind that we make all the time that I know everybody likes. And I do like having a handful. And I think the key is like a handful, like 6 cookbooks that are out all the time that have a lot of tried and true favorite recipes in them. And I find that that is enough inspiration that I never really get bored of what we're eating. My very favorite cookbooks are Dinner Illustrated, which is by the America's Test Kitchen group. I also really love the books by the runner, Shalene Flanagan and Elise Kopecky, Run Fast, Eat Slow. And then there's another one, like a sequel to that. There's also like some New York Times cookbook that I'm blanking on, but I'll have to link to in the show notes that I really, really love. There's one that's called One Dish Dinners that we've had a lot of success with this year. Melissa Clark, that's her name, Melissa Clark. So yeah, between all of those, they're kind of sitting up on my counter. I usually don't have any lack of inspiration. And I do tend to go to one cooking blog more than any others, which is the How Sweet Eats, because they have like 10 or 12 recipes that we've just made over and over that are so, so good. The kids tend to love them. And so I kind of have her bookmarked. If I'm really out of ideas, I will just go to her website and check out what she has on the front page. And usually I find some kind of inspiration. So yeah, I mean, this is one of those areas where it's like, I absolutely could do more, but I don't feel like I need to. So sometimes the right amount of planning is the amount that you need and no more than that. I will say my sister came up with a really fun idea, which is to create kind of like a Google Sheets where we could share recipes that we come across and really, really like. So who knows, maybe in a few months, I'll say I'm using that a lot because it is a really fun idea, especially because of the community building aspect, like the idea that I'd be sharing recipes with my mom and sister, just another fun thing to talk about and share together. So not that I necessarily need those ideas, but that might be a fun way to have another connection. So thinking about doing that as well. And then last question, favorite book you've read so far this year? I will say Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin, which was a super popular book last year. And so probably is not a new one to anyone. But if you haven't read it, or if you're worried that because you're not into video games, you won't like it, read it. It was very emotional. I really loved it. It was very absorbing. And I kind of almost want to read it again. It was that good. And I don't feel that way about many books. So yeah, that is my favorite so far this year. I finally made my 2023 book list. It's not posted anywhere, but I wrote it down in my little Pstology notebook. And actually, it's not a 2023 list. It's just like handful of books I'm excited to read in the near future list, because that is kind of the way I felt like doing it this time. And so hopefully by this weekend, or maybe by the time this is airing, that will be up and live and you can check it out. All right. Well, this has been really, really fun. I don't think I've ever done a full-on Ask Me Anything. So I'm very grateful to you for sending me these awesome questions and prompts so that I could talk about some really fun things. Please, as always, you can find everything on my website, theshoebox.com, theshubox.com. If you are not a newsletter subscriber, I highly recommend it. I only send the newsletter out monthly, so you'll be getting one soon for April. But usually there's some like little fun planner picks in there, or like date night ideas, like just random lists of things that I think about. And it's just a fun way to stay in touch and also to be the first to hear about any further kind of Best Laid Plans Academy news or Best Laid Plans Live stuff, etc. And again, it's just monthly, so you will never be overwhelmed by my emails, but you'll just be able to stay in touch. So to find that link, go to theshoebox.com/newsletter and you can sign up. All right, I'll be back next week with more planning fun. You can still send me questions, even though I'm not doing a specific AMA. Send me your planner requests or questions about your planning tools that you may be thinking about as we enter the next quintile for many of us, or the next quarter, if that's how you plan. And yeah, keep the suggestions coming, as well as the intel if you hear about planner news that you feel should be shared with the world. All right, I will be back next Monday. If you are listening to this and getting a start to your week, I hope you have a wonderful one.
This podcast is part of the Sound Advice FM network. Sound Advice FM, women's voices amplified.